We're beginning our study of a book of Ephesians. Today we lay the cornerstone and start the foundation for the model of the church. And from our 9-week study, we will discover what I believe are 8 important goals for being the church. Here are some things that we should be. A praise and prayer-focused church. We should be focused on salvation through Christ for all. We should maintain unity within the body of Christ, and we should equip our members for service. We should encourage individual lifestyles of holy living. We should encourage Christian-based households, and we must take our Christian living to work and to the world. And most importantly, we need to be prepared to engage in spiritual battle. As we begin our look into the book of Ephesians, we need to get a little background to get things going. First, we need to define what church is. For some people, it's the building. But for most of us, we know that it usually means our congregation, our people. In the book of Ephesians, it's defined as the universal body of believers, the body of Christ. Even in our Apostles' Creed, we say in the Holy Catholic Church, meaning Catholic, meaning universal, not the big C, the big Catholic Church, but we are the universal, all believers are part of the universal body of believers. The New Testament church that we know of today started on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down like flames of tongues onto Jesus' followers. He had ascended into heaven, and he promised that he would send this power of the Holy Spirit, and it allowed the apostles and his followers to spread Christianity throughout the world. Our model for the early church is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. But you see, the early church were largely Jewish converts. And on the Sabbath, on their Saturday, they would go worship as Jews in the Jewish temple, and then on Sundays, they would gather in their homes and other places to worship as Christians. And their big focus was on teaching and fellowship and communion. And as the apostles went out, they not only converted more Jews, but they started converting Gentiles. And for many of the Gentiles, they did not have the basis of a Jewish faith. The city of Ephesus is located in what we now know as modern-day Turkey. It was not in the Holy Land. It was not Jewish territory. For many of these people, having a singular God, or what we call monotheism, was something new. Because every good Roman worshipped the pantheon of gods, and every Roman worshipped the emperor. So as new groups of believers began to form throughout that part of Asia, they found themselves worshiping without any form or structure to follow. Because see, the early church, and a lot of what we do with our sanctuary and our altars, is modeled after the temple, the Jewish temple. But these believers in Ephesus, they didn't have that structure. They didn't have this background. The city of Ephesus was a major trade hub for Rome. Ephesus was home to the temple of the goddess of fertility, Artemis. This was one of the original seven wonders of the world. Today, only the ruins remain standing, but it is still allegedly a very spectacular sight to see in person. Paul had spent nearly 3 years working directly with the believers in Ephesus and then left them with leaders such as his trusted companion, Timothy. The book of Ephesians is actually a letter written by Paul as an encouragement and guide to their growth as a congregation. So this was their how-to book. This was their guide to a healthy church. And over the next few weeks, we will cover quite a bit of the book of Ephesians. We won't get every single verse in, but we're going to focus on several of them. And today we're going to look at some from chapters 1 and 2 that we heard read earlier. So starting with Ephesians 1:22, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." The church is the body and Christ is the head. And we have to remember that part because Christ is to be in control. We like to control things, don't we? We'll form committees. We'll talk about things, we'll plan things, we'll do things, what we think should be done. But in reality, who's supposed to be in control? Jesus Christ is supposed to be in control of everything that we do. And from Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." That we're talking about that in our Sunday school. Because it's important to remember, we don't belong to this world. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted to children as children of God. We become heirs of a different kind of kingdom. And as a part of this kingdom, as a part of this household, it says in verse 20, "It's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." See, together we become the temple. Inside of us, in what we do and everything we do, God is supposed to dwell inside of us. But not just by any means, but by the way Christ has taught us, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard this term before, but how many of you really know what that critical statement means? Often today, in today's building, we'll see a decorative cornerstone in a building that doesn't really serve any purpose. Most of those are actually facades that are put on after the building is built. But in the time of the people of Ephesus, the cornerstone was the point from which the entire building was to be built. The foundation would be laid out and connected by this cornerstone. The cornerstone controlled both the shape and the strength of the building. The larger the cornerstone, the larger the building that could be built. The more precise the shape of the cornerstone, the more precise that the building could be built. And the people of Ephesus were no strangers to great buildings. As I mentioned before, Ephesus was home to one of the original seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis. The importance of the cornerstone certainly had meaning to these people. And for Paul to say that Jesus was to be their cornerstone was very significant. They got what he was saying. Oh yeah, we see the big buildings Romans have built. We see these big temples. Did they just randomly throw a bunch of rocks together? No, they started with a cornerstone and they built massive structures. But in our Bible, there are many passages that put the focus on this cornerstone. Psalms 118 says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Isaiah 28 says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a pressure cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." Zechariah 4 says, "From Judah will come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler." In Matthew 22, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." The prophets told us that Jesus was the cornerstone. Jesus told us that he was the cornerstone. Paul tells us in Ephesians that Jesus is the cornerstone. And even Peter makes the same statement. It seems to me that this must be a really important concept. This is why I started with this concept. Because if in this congregation we do not make Jesus our cornerstone, then we will fail. We need everything to be about Jesus and not about what is popular. We need to be aligned with what the scriptures teach us and not worried about what will offend the world. Too many times we put ourselves in as the cornerstone. We want the church to fit around us. We make the teachings of God fit around what we want to believe. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, "Oh, well, I just don't believe God would do that. I don't believe God. I don't believe the Bible really means this." What are they doing? They're making themselves the cornerstone, and they're telling God what we want to believe. But you see, everything about his church, everything about our congregation, everything that we do, the way we worship, the way we learn, the way we serve, everything. I mean, everything we do must be focused on Jesus. It is the only way. How can we point people to Jesus if we ourselves don't have Jesus as the cornerstone? See, we're part of the building, and what happens to the whole part of the building? Everything points to the cornerstone. Jesus must be our cornerstone, and our foundation must be the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. God's holy word. This verse, again, is the key to everything we do. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets." We got to stay true to what we have in God's holy word, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. If we start with Jesus as the cornerstone and the apostles' teachings as our foundation, we will be built together. Each one of us becomes an integral part of Christ's church. Do you know what happens when we don't build on a proper foundation? When our focus stops being on Jesus and it stops being about the teachings? Today, our very denomination has division and controversy. And over time, I've heard many and I've experienced many that even in this congregation, we have had divisions and controversies. Sometimes serious and sometimes trivial. But when you get to the root of all of them, what has happened? We have shifted our focus away from the cornerstone, because our focus becomes on us. See, when we stop looking at the cornerstone and we start looking at ourselves, that's when controversy begins to happen. That's when your individual personalities become the focus of the church. That's when selfish desires take over. When false teachings are allowed in the church. Anytime we focus on anything but Jesus Christ, we end up with controversy. And that's why I wholeheartedly believe that the focus of this congregation, the focus of every single member, needs to be on Jesus. This is the standard by which we should measure everything that we do. And you, as members of this church, you have a responsibility to ask ourselves, is our worship Jesus-focused? Is the preacher Jesus-focused? Is our Sunday school Jesus-focused? Is our missions Jesus-focused? Are the people Jesus-focused? And over the next few months, we will be faced with many questions and challenges, mostly related to problems with the United Methodist Church. And we'll be sharing, for those of you who don't know about it, we'll be sharing more of it, and we'll be having meetings about it. But as these things come on, and these things become reality, the way for us to stay unified, the way for us to survive and grow, is to make sure that Jesus is the cornerstone of both our individual lives and the cornerstone of our beliefs as this church. We live in a controversial world. We live in a world that wants to split us between left and right, a world that wants to divide us by color, a world that wants to divide us by ethnic backgrounds, a world that wants to divide us between the haves and the have-nots. Every day the news is about division, isn't it? We have division in our families. We have divisions where we work. But what is the one answer to all of our division? That is faith in Jesus Christ. And it is through Him and through His Word that will keep us unified, that will point us in the right direction every time without fail. And so as we go through these things this summer, as we go through this study of Ephesians, we need to just check ourselves. We do a lot of great and wonderful things here. But we need to stop and ask, are we leading people towards Jesus, or is what we're doing leading people away from Jesus? Are we bringing people into the love of Jesus Christ, or are we pushing people away? And whatever we do, we cannot compromise what the truth of God's word is. We've come a long way in the last 4 years. In July, we'll have been together 4 years. And this church has come a long way. We've had ups and we've had downs. We've had divisions. We've had people coming back together. We've gone through COVID together. We've been through a lot. And this church, and I've been saying it all year long, we are primed for greatness. The Holy Spirit is at work in a lot of people's lives. And if we harness that power and we continue to go with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone, we are going to come out of this a strong, healthy, vibrant church that is being filled with people. And if you don't think that's possible, then you don't believe in the same God that I believe in. Because I believe this church can be full again. And not just full of people for the sake of filling people. Full of people who are following Jesus Christ. Full of people that feel the Holy Spirit inside of them. full of people that are hungry for God's word, hungry to see God's miracles, hungry to be a part of sharing that good news. But you got to be willing to start with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. Because if we don't get that right, nothing else we do matters. And will be nothing but noise that comes and goes. And I don't think this church is ready for hospice care. I think this church is ready to step out of the hospital and start going forward. That's the God I believe in. That's the Holy Spirit I'm seeing working in this church. But you got to believe. And we got to unify on the cornerstone. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I know that there are many obstacles that we will be facing. And Lord, the next year or two could be really defining for this church. But Lord, no matter what we do or whatever comes before us, let us first stop. Let us look to you. Let us look to your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us look at the word that we discover through your Holy Scriptures. And let us discover who you are. Let us discover who you want us to be. And let us do our best to live it in the way that honors and glorifies you, so that all glory will be yours, so that all people will know that nothing here is about us, that everything we do is to honor you, that everything we do points to our cornerstone. Everything we do is to bring others to that same faith, to that same assurance, to those same eternal promises that we share. Lord, this will be a challenge. And not on our power will we be able to do this. Only by the power of your Holy Spirit will this be possible. Lord, I ask that the people open their hearts, that they feel your Holy Spirit, that they are spoken to, that they hear and know that they have a part in what you are building and rebuilding in this church. Lord, let us no more be silent. Let us no more be looking towards our past, but let us look forward through your Son, Jesus Christ, at what you are going to continue to build and grow in this church. May we be God's holy church, through God's holy word, by his Holy Spirit. This we pray. Amen. Last week we celebrated the victory, did we not? Jesus Christ came, died, and rose. In the book of Revelation today, we read that he struck the fatal blow on Satan. He cannot win. The game is over. Victory is ours. And until the day that the Lord comes back for final victory, we have a task. And folks, I promise you, over the next 8 weeks, you are not going to get a lot of softballs from me. I am going to push you, and I am going to challenge you. And the more that it upsets you, the more you know the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And we're going to have a choice to say, yes, Lord, I will be obedient, and I will help build your kingdom. Or you can stand on the outside and say, good job, guys. Looks great. But those who stand on the outside and say that looks great aren't part of the kingdom. If you're part of the kingdom, you got to get your hands dirty. And as long as you have life, and as long as you have breath, you carry the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to decide, are we going to be kingdom builders? Or are we just going to be people that are hooked up to life support and watch God's church go away?
I'm not just talking about this congregation. I'm talking about God's church, which in this country is failing fast. And we can be part of the movement that turns it around. I believe revival is possible. And it starts with us. We can't wait for the church down the street here or the church down the street there. We have to start here. Revive and rebuild. That's got to be our model. Let us leave here in full consideration of what the Holy Spirit has spoken to us today. And whatever message He has given to you today, I promise you is the message that He wanted you to hear. Because sometimes things come out of my mouth that you hear that I didn't say. I promise you, because I've had people shake my hand on the way out and said, thank you, I needed to hear about that. And I go through my notes and saying, did I preach that? I don't know. Because God speaks. And what we hear and what we know, God will work on us. We have yet to realize the full potential of the Holy Spirit. And when we start to taste that, we will start to see God work great miracles. But it only works when we cooperate. Let us leave here knowing that we are God's people. We are no longer citizens of this world. Let us go and build a heavenly kingdom. Let our focus truly be on Jesus Christ. Let us go now in the name of the Father and of His Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.